Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so glad to be here with you. I'm so humbled to be asked to return since I was here last fall. So thank you. I appreciate your invitation to come back and see all of you again and some new faces too. And may I say that you have such a warm and loving spirit, and it's evident as soon as you walk in the door. So just my being here, you've blessed me. So thank you very much. Rhythm. Rhythm is such a great theme to begin a new year with. Usually the beginning of a new year, it creates this internal push to make some changes, clean out, reorganize, in other words, to start fresh. And now, to be sure, you can go to any bookstore or type into your browser and look for self-help books, diet books, books about relationships and improving your life. And there's certainly no shortage of any of those things, but there is an alternative, and it won't cost you any money, but it will ask something of you, and that is to follow in the way of Jesus, the best life improvement course and teacher I know. So it's a decision, isn't it? If we're going to get our lives in sync with the rhythm of Jesus, are we going to buy the bestseller of maybe Deepak Chopra? Or how about well-known life improvement guru Tony Robbins, who promises wealth and success? Or Oprah Winfrey, who has a lot of good things to say about life and relationships. She does. Or are we going to go to Jesus as our teacher and life coach? I hope we will. My task in this series is to talk about how Jesus modeled faithfulness and how faithfulness helps to bring a life-giving rhythm to our lives. So let's start with confession. The holidays usually interrupt whatever normal rhythm we had to life, including spiritually. The usual criticism we have of ourselves is the overindulgence in food and beverage. But there's other ways to stuff ourselves with too much of something that's not edifying to our spirits. We have just ended a year that was full of a lot of tension, conflict, negative energy from a presidential campaign. And we absorbed a lot of that negative energy, didn't we? And it's still here. Unfortunately, it's still here. What are we going to do with all this negative stuff? How can we get back in sync with the Spirit of Christ that dwells within and walk faithfully with Jesus into this new year? We will not be much help to our country, our world, our families, and our friends if we lose our hope and our peace and the rhythm of living in step with the Spirit that dwells with us. If you remember, if you were here last time I was here, I talked about the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that remarkable knowledge that the Spirit of God is with us all the time. It is that indwelling Spirit that will signal when we've lost our way and will help us to stay faithful to the spiritual journey that we're all on. The parable that was read says a lot about how Jesus views faithfulness. You could see this as a story about who is in, who's out, who's going to inherit the kingdom, who is saved, who's lost. Were you surprised at the answer? Well, yes, I was. Notice nothing is said about worship, reading scripture, building buildings, using incense at the right way, blowing the ram's horn at the right time, bringing the right animal sacrifice. Did you notice that it was all about how we treat each other? When the question was asked, Lord, when was it we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? The answer from the king in the story was, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. So who are members of God's family? Look around, and everyone we encounter, right? I think that part of what it means to be in the rhythm with Jesus is to be faithful to what he said and what he did. Was Jesus asking us to do something he didn't do?
No.
I don't think so. The Gospels tell us that Jesus went about teaching and healing and restoring relationships and breaking the bonds that were imprisoning people. The kingdom of God is present when we treat every person we encounter as if it were God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait till you go to the pearly gates. Do it now. One of the most, just as a little aside here, I want to share something with you I found fascinating. Science has now shown that you receive positive benefits whether you are the giver, the receiver, or the observer of an act of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most fascinating findings to come out in recent years is that whenever a simple act of kindness is extended to one human being to another, it results in a significant improvement of the functioning of the immune system and increased boost in serotonin. That's the good feeling stuff that goes in our brains and makes us have a well-being. And it happens in both the giver of the kindness and the recipient. What's even more amazing is that persons just observing an act of kindness also experience this. And these benefits now, realize these benefits are not why we do an act of kindness, hopefully. We do it in faithfulness to what Jesus told us to do. However, it's most interesting that the human body responds positively to such things, and even our cells recognize and respond to love and compassion. It seems as though the human body is wired for love and kindness. Living a faithful life requires submission of our will to God's will.
Mm-hmm.
The parable shows how we submit to the needs of others. And Jesus modeled this throughout his ministry. He demonstrated servant leadership by washing his disciples' feet. He yielded his own life to show us the way to God. He forgave his enemies even as he was being crucified. Jesus also showed us faithfulness in how he withdrew to solitary places to pray to his Father. And if he needed to do that, how much more do we need that time of rest in solitude and reflection and prayer?
Mm-hmm.
There's a great metaphor for what we're talking about today, a way of thinking of the challenge of staying faithful and in rhythm with God in this chaotic world. And I found it in a book by Parker Palmer. It's called A Hidden Wholeness. He tells about a time when farmers on the Great Plains at the first sign of a blizzard would run a rope from the back door all the way to the barn because they all knew stories of people who had wandered off and been frozen to death, having lost sight of home in a whiteout while they were still in their own backyards. That's the kind of blizzard they have up there. Now, let's think about how that relates to our lives today. Think of the blizzard as the chaos of life and the rope as Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of blizzard do we find ourselves blowing around us? The one that swirls around us is fear, greed, deceit, indifference to suffering, war, poverty, political division. I could just go on and on. We are in danger of wandering off into this chaos and madness and losing our moral and spiritual bearings, of having a divided soul, that very core of our humanness that naturally seeks truth, justice, and love.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get caught up in this kind of blinding chaos, the soul can lose its power to guide us.
Mm-hmm.
And I refer to soul as that part within us that knows it is connected to God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I think we can all think of times when we've been caught up in this kind of blizzard. Maybe you feel like you're in one right now. There is certainly no shortage of fear and deceit and greed and suffering and negative people and negative speech and negative energy. Well, I confess I feel caught up in this kind of blizzard when I listen to the news or the conversations that are going on about our country, and it can blow me off course in a hurry. The other blizzard that can overtake me is my mind wandering into anxious thoughts, most of which have not happened and probably won't. Now, maybe your mind does that. It's a bad thing that I confess it happens to me. So here's where faithfulness to our life, faith, and practice steps into the story. I need to know where my rope is and where to reach for it when I feel like I'm in the midst of an overwhelming blizzard. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you about a time in my life when I got blown off course, out of rhythm, out of sync with my faithfulness to God. I was a young adult. I had just come through a painful divorce. And this was back in the late 70s when most churches didn't know what to do with divorced people. Mostly they just ignored them, forgot about them, or sometimes condemned them. So I completely dropped out of church. And then some people came into my life that pulled me even further away from some of the foundational principles that I had lived by and that were a part of my faith. After a few years of kind of blowing around without a rope, I realized I felt like I was split into many selves. It was a most strange and uncomfortable feeling. In other words, I was out of integrity with myself, which led me to a counselor who helped me understand what was going on internally and spiritually. Parker Palmer's book that I referenced is subtitled The Journey to an Undivided Life. That really speaks to what I was experiencing. I knew I had to take that journey. One of healing my broken soul and return to the rhythm of faith that had provided a foundation for my life. So I had a private recommitment to God, and I found my way to a church eventually that felt like home, like I hope you feel here, and which set my feet on the right path and eventually led to my understanding my call to ministry. So the elements of my story that I would like to highlight here are these. Separation from those things that were providing the rope, the anchor to my life. Separation from the people of God, the community of faith where I could receive encouragement, nurturing, support, and learning. Separation of my soul, my internal compass that was divided between following God and following my ego's desires. At some point in life, every person needs to come to a reckoning about who they are. Mm-hmm. Who have you become? Who do you want to be? Where is God at work in your life or not? This is the hard and uncomfortable part of the journey, but it's a most necessary one. I want to again refer back to my previous sermon. You might remember the foundational principles that I mentioned that hopefully undergird one's life and faith, and here they are. You are loved by God unconditionally. God is for you, not against you. The Spirit of God is within you. We're on a journey with God, not in a one-time transaction with God. And the purpose of the journey is transformation. So if you and I can believe these truths, then we have what we need to do that hard internal work on ourselves, and that will lead to a transformed life and one that is lived in faithfulness to God. Mm-hmm. Will we be faithful to God or faithful to the world's values and the world's ways of solving problems? Don't we really need some help in solving the world's problems that don't come from the human way? Mm-hmm. I think so. In this very negative climate we're living in, that can so easily pull us off course, swirl around us like a blizzard, God calls us to stay connected to Him and each other. Don't walk out into the blizzard of life without the rope, without Jesus. If we will follow the rope where it leads, then our decisions, our actions, our acts of kindness, our work for justice, will be more likely to bring the kingdom near and among us and heal the divisions among us. And that is walking faithfully with God. Mm-hmm. The story we read in Matthew is a story about staying connected to each other. Martin Luther King Jr., whom we've just honored, said this: "We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools." The key to staying connected and in tune to the needs around us is to first be intimately connected to God. That's where our primary faithfulness belongs. And then out of that, we connect to others. Mm-hmm. Because how can we possibly welcome the stranger or notice or even care about the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, those who are imprisoned in any kind of imprisonment? Mm-hmm. If we're disconnected to our faith, our God, our community, our soul. Mm-hmm. So I want to leave you with this question. Have you left home without the rope? Did you forget to tie it around you so that you can secure your way ahead? Take hold of the rope that will lead you in the blizzard of life.